Welcome to Unlikable Female Characters, the podcast featuring feminist thriller writers in conversation about women who don't give a damn if you like them. I'm Kristen LaBianca, and I'm here with Lane Fargo.
Hello.
Hello. It's summer.
Yes, it is summer. And the Olympics, by the time this airs, they will already be going on. They are starting soon as we record this, or are they? Because this feels like back in the heat of the pandemic, like the worst times where we were like, well, we hope when this comes out, like these certain things will be happening, but we don't know. Because all I hear right now is like more and more people are dropping out of the games because of COVID. And yes. Like people are isolating in the like Olympic Village. I'm alarmed. Yes. Are you alarmed?
I'm very alarmed. There's like tens of thousands of athletes in that Olympic Village. Like,
yeah.
This is very bad. So many people are testing positive. I saw that an alternate on the USA gymnastics team tested positive. Like, it's scary stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. Like,
and they're all going to be banging each other despite those cardboard beds that they're making them sleep on. Like, right? This is bad. I really don't want this to be a super spreader event.
No.
At the same time, I fucking love the Olympics. I was heartbroken when they were canceled last year, even though, like, obviously they had to be and probably should be now as well. I'm obsessed because I'm like, my thing with sports is I don't care about sports at all. Like, I don't watch sports. I don't give a shit except when the Olympics are on. And then for 2 weeks, I'm the biggest fan of all sports, every sport.
All the sports. Even the boring ones.
Even the boring. None of them are boring. They're all magical. And I become obsessed. I like learn all the rules. I learn the names of the athletes. And then as soon as the closing ceremony happens, like, it's gone.
You're like, what are sports? I don't even care.
Yes. So it's like I compress all of my caring about sports into 2 week periods every, you know, couple years. And then the rest of the time I have no fucks to give about sports. But you have confessed to me you are a sports fan, yes?
I am a sports fan. It's kind of embarrassing because I don't think it really fits with my general vibe. But perhaps more accurately, I can say that what I have is not like I don't like sports, but I'm obsessed with sports. Like I have an obsessive personality in this way. So my partner is from Cleveland where... Everyone in Cleveland has a massive chip on their shoulders about sports because the Cleveland sports teams are just woefully unlucky.
And LeBron left you.
Yeah, all of that stuff. But since getting together with her, it's been many years at this point, but I've become deeply obsessed with baseball and basketball.
Okay.
And I follow Cleveland baseball and basketball religiously. Like, I watch every game. It's really embarrassing.
I did not know this about you. You contain multitudes, Kristen.
I do. A lot of my, like, watching the sports, like, Joanna's like, I'm so glad you like sports now. And I'm like, I don't know if I like them or if I just am fixated on them. Like, I literally can't tell. I have lots of opinions about their uniforms, of course. Okay. That's most of my thoughts, probably. But I think that they are kind of a fascinating, like, study in human nature, like, the way that, like, people behave. Like, so maybe from, like, an anthropological point of view is what I enjoy, but, like, it's so funny to me to see, like, men jumping up and down with excitement when they win.
It is, like, the one space in our culture where men are allowed to have really strong emotions and be demonstrative. And I feel like that's a lot of why they're so obsessed with them. Because they're like, I can, like, hug my bros and cry.
Right.
But it's because of the sports ball. It's not because of any, like, real emotions that I have.
Right. Inside. It's not because of I have emotions. It's because of sports. Uh-huh. So I have all of the Cleveland baseball games on my calendar. I can tell you that the next game is tonight at 8:07.
Wow.
So
this is amazing. I only look up baseball game times because when the Cubs play in Chicago, traffic is the worst.
Yeah.
And it, like, fucks with my partner's commute. So we'll, like, keep track of the Cubs schedule just to see when the games are. And then if they're out of town for a few days, it's like, yes, freedom.
See, that's how I feel about Ohio State football. I could not care less, which, like, Columbus, Ohio State football is a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the only reason that I care about it is because it fucks up traffic when they have home games.
Yeah, I went to Ohio State for grad school. And when I interviewed there at the theater department, they were like, do you like football? And I was like, no. they were like, oh, you will. Like, you'll get into it. And I was like, I don't think so. And I did not. I was like, you know, because I was a marching band in high school. So I saw a lot of football games and I was like, what? Why is this a thing?
Like, what is this? They're just like running back and forth. It's not even interesting. Yeah. Football doesn't, it doesn't register with me as an exciting sport to watch. I still don't care about that. But I'm right there with you about the Olympics. I love every single thing in both summer and winter.
Do you have a favorite between summer and winter?
You know, I think probably summer, because I absolutely love swimming and track.
Okay.
And in winter, the main thing that I love to, and gymnastics, and the main thing that I like to watch in winter is the skating. So there's like more different sports in summer that I get excited about.
Yeah, for me, winter is my favorite. I really do love them both, but because I'm so obsessed with skating, like, you know, I kind of backburnered it for now, but I've been working on a skating themed thriller, and like, that's my jam. I just fucking love figure skating. It's so messed up. It's like a really screwed up sport and I'm obsessed with it. So I do look forward to the winter games a little bit more, but I'm like, when it's on, I'll just watch anything.
Sport.
I like sports I've never even heard of, like things that you wouldn't think were sports, like that weird thing with the horses where they like do the pretty like prancing around.
Yeah.
Or like the, just that the
yeah. Or like the, like the skiing and the shooting. I forget what that one is. Like, well, I don't even know, but it's like, cool, I'll watch
that biathlon.
Maybe.
See, I'm like a dumb bitch about sports, except when the Olympics are on, and they have not started yet at the time that we're recording this. So my sports brain has not like kicked in yet.
Your sports brain needs to redevelop, but like in a week from now, you will be on. You will know every single event name.
Yeah, it's gonna come online during the opening ceremony. It always does. So
I wonder, are they going to have an opening ceremony? It seems like so dangerous at this point.
Yeah. As far as I know, like it's on the TV schedule because I have YouTube TV and I logged in the other day and they were like, which Olympic sports do you want to record? And they had like all so you could pick them. And I'd already set it to record everything. I'm like, fuck you. Record everything. This is the first year for the Olympics that I have all of the channels. So I'm like, could watch the Olympics 24 hours a day. Like, this is magical.
Yeah, I think same, actually. I think the last time we didn't, like, we were kind of, like, beholden to whatever they were showing on the major channels. But, like, now it's, we can watch every single thing. We can watch every qualifying and preliminary round, and it's amazing.
So excited. Oh my god. So yeah, we've been wanting to do this episode for a while. We're going to talk about like female athletes, and we just thought this would be a great time during the Olympics, which again, hopefully happening as this airs. Oh my god, it's scary. It's scary out there.
Yeah, it sure is. All right, so what do we want to talk about first?
Let's talk about how female athletes and like female sports teams don't get the respect they deserve or the money they deserve, because I know we're both really pissed off about this.
Yes.
Especially after we both just watched, there's this new documentary that it's on HBO Max. I think it's like a CNN documentary though, called LFG, which stands for Let's fucking go. And this is about the US women's soccer team and their fight for equal pay. And we both watched this and we're just like livid, like so angry. There was a point during this movie where they showed, because I knew, like I'd heard about the pay battle and that they weren't being paid as much as the men, and like, okay, like I was aware of that. But when they showed the charts that compared like how much the women get paid to the men, I screamed at the television. I was like, what?
Yes. Yeah, there were a few times where I was just like, what? But like the thing, so spoiler alert, the case is still ongoing technically, but the argument of like that they should receive equal pay has been dismissed by the courts, because technically some of the women made more money than the men. Like if you
because
were just like
they're
looking
better.
Like if you're looking at like, you know, like dollar amounts written on a piece of paper, yes, they made more, but they also won way more. So it's sort of like saying like the men are mediocre at their job and didn't win. And they didn't get any bonuses and they didn't play in all of these extra tournaments and they didn't win the fucking World Cup. And the women did. They won everything. They got these bonuses. And therefore, they earned more money. And so there's no equal pay issue. It's like, but if the men had done what the women had done, they would have made way more money.
Yeah, but they didn't because they suck.
Right.
Yeah, they're being punished for their excellence. Like, they're being punished for being good. Because I guess I didn't even realize all of the... It's like they get paid bonuses if they win tournaments or games. And so, like, that affects the pay level. But, like, the amount that the women's team gets for winning a game or winning the World Cup is way less than what the men's team would be offered. So it's just... It's so egregious.
Yes, and part of the problem, too, is that, like, I forget the exact terminology, but, like, basically the women's organization agreed to a different type of contract, but it was, like, they agreed to a contract that was offered to them. They were never offered terms similar to what the men were offered. And, like, that's also a huge equal pay issue. Like, they were never even offered the opportunity to negotiate that type of pay per game contract. Like, they weren't given the choice. Mm-hmm. And so some of the detractors are like, well, they agreed to it, so how can they complain now? It's like, well, they did agree to it. That is true. But they were never given the opportunity to negotiate for something better.
And they probably didn't know how much the men were making.
Right. I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, you don't know. I mean, it's like in Hollywood, too, where there are all these cases of, like, an actress is getting paid a lot less than an actor, and they don't know because all of that stuff is secret. Like, they only find out if someone shares that information with them. And same in publishing, actually. Like, we don't know each other's advances unless we share that information, which I have at least one contract that says I am not allowed to do that, that there's, like, an NDA clause, which is bullshit, by the way. Like,
yeah, that's crazy. Like, why is all of this so secretive? I mean,
get away with shit.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
And then they tried to argue in the court case, right, that it was because, like, the women weren't as strong and athletic as the men. They were just, like, weak ladies with their weak little lady bodies.
Yeah, which, like as infuriating as the other arguments are, like, as infuriating as the, well, they agreed to it argument is, like, this argument about, like, well, men are stronger and more powerful, therefore they're entitled to get, it's like, who the fuck thought it was okay to argue this? It's just astonishing.
Plus, I think Megan Rapinoe could, like, bench press a lot of men. I'm just gonna say.
I think so, too. And I also think that she could, like, just terrify them into laying down in a little ball and crying.
Yeah. She is cordially invited to bench press me anytime she wants.
Yeah, she's incredible.
Yeah.
I want everything that she owns in this documentary. Like, she just looks so fabulous.
She does. Every
fucking scene, like, her shoes and her pants and her little bag. Oh, God. But she's
so stylish and badass.
She's so stylish and badass. And, like listening to her, like, speak very candidly about all these issues was just really powerful. So this is a highly recommended documentary.
Mm-hmm. This documentary will leave you burning with feminist rage and with a crush on Megan Rapinoe, if you didn't already have one, which, like, what's wrong with you?
Right.
She's so fascinating to me because a lot of men are very, including the ex-president Donald Trump, very threatened by her, like, very upset by her. And I'm like, I think it's because she doesn't give a fuck what men think and she's going to steal your girl. Like,
yes.
We did that episode a while back on, like, the woman who will steal your girl. Like, that's Megan Rapinoe. She could steal anyone's girl anytime.
Anytime. Any day of the week. Twice on Sundays. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, all these ladies are super badass, and it was just incredible and, like, infuriating also to hear a lot of them talk about their, like, struggles to make ends meet because they're not getting paid that much. Like, they're professional athletes. Like, this is their job, and they're having to take, like, one of them said at various points in her career she was, like, stuffing boxes at Amazon like, in the off season, or they have to take coaching jobs, or they have to, like, that's true in a lot of sports. Like, there's not a lot of funding. Like, people think of athletes as super wealthy because you've got, you know, the LeBron James of the world who have all these endorsement deals and, like, huge pay, but there are a lot of professional athletes who are not being paid very much and are really struggling, and yeah, it would help if they were paid as much as the men.
It certainly would. In the case of, like, the WNBA, like, almost, you know, all of the players have other careers, or tons of them play in leagues in Europe and Russia in the off season because they just don't get paid enough money. And I have some pretty eye opening stats regarding WNBA salaries
that
I would like to share. So these numbers are, like, from 2019, I think, so hopefully things have gotten better. I'm sure they haven't. I'm sure they've only gotten worse. But the absolute highest salary, which is called the Supermax salary, like this is the most that any WNBA player gets paid. It's a good salary. It's $221,000.
Okay.
Now, in the NBA, in the men's league, the lowest salary for this time period, the lowest salary, $838,000.
What?
Right?
For like the shittiest player who...
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. It's insane. So wow. That's like the absolute wow. best WNBA player makes a quarter of what the worst men's league player makes. Yikes. And then like, wow. I mean, you look at the big athletes in the NBA are making obviously millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. It's like,
sure.
I understand. And I understand like why, like superstars in the NBA have so much visibility and those leagues, like it's, I understand that like the women's league is not going to pay any players $30 million a year. The WNBA doesn't make enough money to justify that. I get it. But when you look at, like, the Supermax salary as compared to the lowest salary, it's like, something isn't right here. Mm-hmm. And as I was sort of looking into that, I discovered that part of it is that, like, the NBA pays a higher percentage of its overall revenue to its players than the WNBA does, which is curious and messed up.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if that were it was something like the NBA pays 50% of its revenue to its players. The WNBA pays 20%.
Cool.
Great.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Fascinating.
I mean, I think like the argument in the NBA is a little because like women's basketball is not anywhere near as popular as men's basketball. Like that's right. just a fact right now. I mean, it shouldn't be that way, but it is. Like the WNBA players are not like celebrities in the way that the top NBA players are. Mm-hmm. But in soccer, that's not the case. Like men's soccer is not popular in the United States.
Like, that's no true. One really
gives like, a shit, right?
Yeah, like I couldn't identify a single, like I can't name a single men's soccer team. I mean, men's yeah. national team player. Like,
no. I don't know who any of them are. Maybe if one of them would get up off his ass and speak up on behalf of these women who are fighting for equal pay, I might remember his name then.
Right.
That's what I kept wondering. I was like, why are all the men being so silent about this?
Well, probably because they don't want to mess up their arrangement by
like they get paid for sucking.
Yeah, they're like, we're good with that. We're good with getting paid well for sucking. It's fine.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Crazy.
Another thing in that documentary that really struck me, there was this quote, but I think it was Becky Sauerbrunn, one of the players. She said, women have been brainwashed into being grateful for whatever they have.
Yes.
That like really, I was like, wow, that's so true in like every industry. And I think the reason that athletes challenge these boundaries a lot is like that's sort of antithetical to being an elite athlete. Like you're not going to just be grateful for what you have,
right?
You're gonna want to be the best, and you're gonna want to win, and you're gonna want to keep fighting and pushing. Like you're not just gonna be like, "Well, I'm so lucky to be on this team, and I guess I'll just like be happy with that." Like you keep pushing yourself. That's the whole
yes.
personality of an athlete.
Exactly. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, and it's like there are so many examples of that, of just like women getting less and being expected to be fine with it. Like in this past year's NCAA basketball tournament, there was a video that Sedona Prince, who is a women's basketball player, she posted about the like the exercise room that the women were offered. That the tournaments took place in a bubble because of COVID, so like they couldn't go elsewhere, so there was like, you know, a workout room for them. Mm-hmm. And it was like some yoga mats and like a few free weights in this tiny space. Meanwhile,
ladies need just some yoga mats.
Just some yoga mats. Meanwhile, the men's team had like massive workout space with all kinds of fancy equipment. And so she posted a video that was pretty widely passed around, and it was just like, that's so messed up. Like mm-hmm. the NCAA is problematic anyway, but like to just be so blatant about it.
Yeah, they're like, not even trying.
They're not even trying. It's not like, oh, well, they both had nice workout spaces, but the men's was a little bit nicer. It was like night and day. It was like the women had a random closet and the men had a whole suite full of equipment.
Wow.
It's just so fucked up.
It is interesting. It's like all of the sports that are like played by both men and women, but are like more associated with men, like basketball, soccer. Usually the women get paid a lot less and are disrespected this way. Like the only sports I can think of where women really get the attention and sometimes pay they deserve is in like really feminine coded sports, like gymnastics, yes, and figure skating. Even then, like those are, especially skating, like incredibly expensive sports that you practically have to have like rich parents to survive in.
Right.
And then there's all this, you're supposed to behave like a perfect little lady and look pretty all the time, even when you're off the ice. And
yes,
that's what I found a lot in my research for my ice skating book that I've been working on forever now. The like gender expectations are really fascinating. It's like women are supposed to be ladylike and pretty and feminine and not too big, like not too muscular, even right, though like you need to be muscular to do that shit.
Right. Like you're supposed to look like a waif and yet be able to do these incredibly powerful things, but make them look graceful.
Graceful and like you're not trying hard.
Right.
If you look like you're trying, then you're not doing it right. And then the gender expectations for men in skating are really interesting too. It's changing somewhat, but until very recently, and I think this is still an issue, there's a lot of pressure for men to seem heterosexual, even if they're not. Like it's kind of an open secret, which there are like out gay skaters now. And actually an ice dancer, Caitlin Weaver, she just came out as queer during Pride Month, which was like a big deal.
Because
there's not a lot of queer
exciting women,
not out queer women in the sport, I should say. I'm sure, yeah, there are plenty.
Right.
But like these sort of like gender roles that they're enforcing, it's like super traditional and conservative. And it's partially because the people running the skating associations are like old people,
right?
Old white people.
Yeah, old white straight people.
But it's fascinating because I had a subplot in my skating book about a character who was like closeted, and my a male character, and my agent was like, well, aren't, like, I mean, it's skating, like most of the guys are gay, right? And I was like, no, like they're really pressured to stay in the closet. Like Johnny Weir was pressured to not come out, even though like his every
yeah, like every single thing about him.
Yeah, like, yeah, obviously he's gay, like everybody knew, and he knew everybody knew, but the skating officials were like, oh no, you can't come out, you can't say the words, you can't, like, you have to pretend to be straight. I mean,
that is
absurd.
So weird.
Yeah. Ugh. Yeah. So there's a lot of toxic stuff in these feminine coded sports. I don't know as much about gymnastics, except for the whole, you know, scandal with that doctor who was molesting hundreds of girls, which,
yes,
I watched a documentary about that where they were, I think it's Athlete A on Netflix. There's been a couple documentaries, and they were talking about how it used to be that gymnasts, female gymnasts, were older, like not, you know, 30, but like,
right,
18 to 24, like kind of in there. And they were a little more, had like a build that was more powerful, not as waifish. And then, mm-hmm, it became like trendy and in vogue to have these like really tiny girlish gymnasts because they could spin and jump higher and all this stuff. And then you're creating this environment where you have these super, super, super young girls who are being controlled by these coaches. And it just is an environment that is like, I mean, ripe for something like this,
right,
to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's just these young girls and nobody protecting them. And they've grown up in this, like it's all they know.
Right.
It's so screwed up.
Yeah, that is insane. I did some reading about what female gymnasts wear and how everything is so sparkly and, mm-hmm, like why. And at first I was like, it's fucked up that they have to be so sparkly. But then as I was reading about it, it turns out that like a lot of the time they like the sparkliness because when these meets are going on, there's like, it's not like one event is happening at a time. Like it's like,
right,
chaos in there. And so having the very distinct sparkly get-ups can help people like spot them, which makes sense. But I always feel like when I'm watching skating, that it's just like, I wish that these women were allowed to be wearing like leggings.
Yeah.
But like I've seen like a skater perform in something that was like leggings like once.
There are more women wearing bodysuits now, but it's kind of controversial still.
Yeah.
And could get you like knocked off presentation points from some like old school judge. Seriously.
It's so insane. Like these are elite athletes who are so powerful and strong, and they have to wear this dumbass like lacy stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't accept that they all like that, right? Like, mm-mm. How could you? Like, you want to other sports, even other women's sports that aren't coded with so much femininity, like, they're not required to wear this ridiculous frilly stuff. Like, imagine if, like, the women's swim team was supposed to wear, like, sexy bathing suits. Like, thank God they're not. Like, Jesus
Don't
Christ.
Give anyone that idea.
I know. Jesus. Oh, my God. It's like a fucking miracle that they're not, but it's, like, really disturbing that for these very feminine-seeming, graceful, dainty sports, these are athletes, and yet they have to, like, wear pageant shit.
Yeah, and, like, all the makeup and all the... Yeah. And it really affects, because, like, in skating, you've got your technical score, which they've done a lot of work to try and make that a little more equitable, where things are, like, assigned a certain point value and all this stuff, so it's not... Because it used to just be you got, like, a score out of 6, and people could just give you whatever score they wanted because they liked you or didn't like you. I mean, so it's a little bit more regimented now, but then the presentation and, like, artistic expression score is very subjective, and the judge can just decide they don't like your dress or your eyeliner or whatever and score you down.
Yeah.
And that happened. I mean, Tanya Harding is the most famous example of that. I think, like, that she was just not, like, feminine and waifish in the way that the sport wanted her to be.
Right.
And she was criticized for that and scored down for that. And even though she was, like, a very powerful jumper and, like, she was more of an athlete than an artist, and that hurt her. I think she's finally starting to get, like, the respect she deserves in some ways. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of documentaries about her, and she's a fascinating person.
Yes. Oh my God. Very interesting. But, like, but yeah, she wasn't, like, I mean, she was very graceful as a skater. Obviously, like, you have to be. It's hard to imagine, like, a not graceful skater, because by its nature, like, you're gliding and swooping and all that. But, like, you know, she was, like, more powerfully built, and, like, you know, she didn't have that sort of, like, I don't know, waspy quality that a lot of them have. Like, she was, you know, a little bit trashy maybe. And that's, like, not the look of the sport.
That's what was so interesting in watching all these documentaries about the, like, Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding thing, is Nancy Kerrigan's family is also, like, blue collar working class.
Yes.
But she managed to she's basically doing, like, WASP drag.
Nancy
Kerrigan. She, like, figured out how to present herself as this, like, beautiful ice princess. And it really worked for her.
Yes.
And Tanya Harding was either, like, unwilling or unable to play that game. And you got to respect her for it to some extent. But, like, it's just messed up. Like, it should be about the athleticism and, like, what they can do, and not just, like, how pretty they look and how they carry themselves. And because they get judged a lot, like, off ice, too. Like, the judges are really involved in their lives all year round, even not, like, during competition. And they'll, like, criticize them for what they're wearing and how they're acting. And, I mean, it is just... It is a bizarre and fucked up sport, which is why I'm so obsessed with it.
Yeah, but it's like a cross between a sport and, like, a pageant.
Yeah.
It's which, like, is like, which is not, that's not. Yeah, it's incredible.
But bad, but amazing.
Yeah. Yes.
My favorite skater, maybe of all time, but, like, definitely, like, top three, is Katharina Witt from Germany. Do you remember her from back in the day?
I do.
She... Such a bad bitch. Oh my God. I mean, she won 2 gold medals, I think. And she was criticized for being too sexy. Like, she would wear these really revealing costumes and, like, kind of make eye contact with the judges and be all, like, coquettish and, like, flirty, but in kind of, like, an aggressive, powerful way. And my favorite anecdote that I've come across about her in my research is that she would, when they're practicing on the ice before a competition, it's, like, a bunch of skaters out on the ice, but usually one person's music will be playing, and they kind of have, like, the center ice, so they're allowed to take control and everybody else is sort of skating around them. And Katharina, when that was going on, she would improvise to the other person's music while they were practicing to intimidate them. So people say, I read her memoir, and she was like, people said I did that to intimidate other skaters, but I just did it because, like, I was inspired by the beautiful music and I wanted to move. And I'm like, bitch, no.
Just own it. That is a major bad bitch move. I love it.
That is so baller. Like, she just, I mean, what a great way to intimidate someone. Because it's, like, a way that people can't really, like, she's not breaking a rule. She's
right.
not, like, running into them or, like, hurting them. She's just like, I'm just going to make everyone look at me.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. It's so crazy that she was criticized for being, like, too sexy or too flirty. Because it's, like, this is the way for, you know, women, not just in skating, it's everywhere. Like, you're supposed to be feminine, but not... too sexy, and you're supposed to be, like, available but not slutty. You're like,
yeah,
it's just ridiculous. Oh my god, look,
like pure but beautiful, but like accessible but not too accessible. Yeah, all of that stuff.
Yeah,
it's very prevalent in skating. It's just like, and everywhere, like you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking back, like back in the golden age of figure skating, of Katarina Witt, and a bit later, I want to shout out Midori Ito. Do you remember her? Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So in the 1992 Olympics, she had a triple axel planned in her performance and she fell, but then she threw another one in and landed it. Mm-hmm. And I always just thought that was such a bad bitch move, because it's like, it has to be so hard to throw a different element into your program
when you're already rattled.
Yeah. But like, yeah, she totally did it. And so she became the first lady to land it in the Olympics or in competition or something.
Yeah, since Tanya Harding fucked up at every Olympics she ever went to.
Yes.
Oh, Tanya.
So sad. Yeah. But yeah, I always thought that that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Going back to your sparkly outfits comment, I wanted to talk about Simone Biles, ultimate bad bitch, and her sparkly goat that she has on all of her.
Yes!
Have you seen that?
Yes! Oh my god, so good.
She is so interesting because she is just like, she's on her own level at this point.
Oh, yeah.
She just is only competing with herself. I don't know that much about gymnastics, but except like in a week from now, I will know everything.
Right.
Right now, I don't know very much. But she's just doing things that nobody else can do. She's like so dominant in the sport and she's not apologetic about it. She's just like, her attitude and confidence and like cockiness almost is really interesting to me, because I don't feel like she's gotten criticized for it that much. Like, she's kind of getting away with it, and I love that for her.
Yes, it's almost just like, well, like there's no argument. She is the best. So
yeah,
she can act like the best because like that's objectively true. At this point, I mean, she's like, she's had like so many things named after her, like moves that she's the only one who is able to do. Like, mm-hmm. It's wild.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, greatest of all time. I have to say, as the Olympics have been approaching, and like I kept thinking about like, oh, maybe they should cancel them, and I was like, no, Simone needs to go and win her gold medals. Like, everyone else can just.
Well, it just must be so, like, it must be so scary for elite athletes to, like, I mean, your entire career is like mapped out according to this event that happens every 4 years, right? Like,
yes,
every decision that you make early on is like, okay, well, this is when I'll be ready, this is when I'll be at my best. And so for it to be postponed last year had to be so terrifying, because people were ready, and it's like, what if they don't happen? Then I literally miss my chance to, you know, win all the medals and go down in history as one of the greatest. So for that reason, I am very glad that it's happening. I want her to win all those medals. I just hope that she's vaccinated and staying away from all these plague badgers who aren't. And
I know, like, can we put Simone in a bubble, please?
Yes.
Like her own bubble.
Yes.
All on her own. It's terrifying. Yeah, I want her to win everything and just like be in the history books. And but it is like, especially as a sport like gymnastics, where there's a really short window,
yeah,
for women especially, where you're considered elite, like where you can do all the stuff that you're supposed to do before your body gets too old at the age of like 25.
Yes, too old and decrepit to do the fancy stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's wild. So let's talk about tennis.
Yeah, let's talk about tennis. I'm very excited to watch that at the Olympics.
Yes. Most recently, Naomi Osaka made some waves because she didn't want to participate in press events after the French Open?
The French Open, yeah.
She said she didn't want to do them. And then I believe they assessed a fine to her. And so she ultimately withdrew from the competition.
Yeah, because they said it was contractually obligated that she do these press events. But the press events are so stupid. It's like, you're sitting up in front of all of these reporters, and then like if you won, they're like, are you like, how do you feel? And you're like, I feel great because I won. Or if you lost, they're like, why did you lose? And you're like, you know,
yeah,
like, what are they saying that is so substantive that we like need to hear from them? I just,
yes,
think it's bullshit.
As a person who watches a lot of sports and sees a lot of like sports journalism, it's like, it's all very stupid. Like,
yeah,
they're just like, so yeah, they're like, how does it feel to win? How does it feel to lose? How did you do that? And they're always just like, I just go out and do my best. It's like the same question every day.
Have you seen that Key and Peele sketch about that?
No.
it's like their interview, I forget what sport, if it's like football or basketball, where the reporter is like, what's your strategy? And they're like, I just gotta go out there and do my best, gotta execute 100%. Like
that's like really literally what they all sound like. Yes, it really is. And it's like, it, like these announcers, like they say idiotic things all the time. Like, sometimes you just don't score enough points to win. No shit. That's how math works. Like,
in fact, every game, yes, someone doesn't score enough, yes, points to win.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. It's very, very profound. But so, yeah, it's not like these French Open press conferences were like going to be full of rich content. It was going to be like people just asking these same questions over and over, and you can totally see how stressful that would be.
Yeah.
After you've played, whether you win or lose, like if you won, you probably just want to go and be happy, and if you lost, you just want to go cry in your hotel room. You don't want to like sit there and have to like repeat these idiotic like, oh, I just gotta focus. Okay.
And you have to behave yourself like very well. Like you can't be like, I'm mad that I lost, or like get like, unless you're a man, like some men do that. But like for a female athlete, and especially a woman of color, like you have to, they're expecting her to just be like very gracious and like, well, the other person played better. And it's almost like testing her sportsmanship in, yes, public every time. And like, it's ridiculous. Like she should just be able to, if she lost, go off and cry in a corner by herself and, yeah, be left alone.
It's absolutely ridiculous to have to perform in this way. So she didn't want to do it, so she withdrew. And there was a lot of backlash about that. And I don't really know why. But I saw this week, so this was a few weeks ago or maybe a month ago that this had happened. But this week, Megyn Kelly, that wonderful, ooh, creature, was coming hard for Naomi Osaka. She wanted to say like, oh, you claim you have anxiety, and so for mental health reasons you can't do these press events, but you were on all these magazine covers. Where was your social anxiety then? That's, it's like, not, that's not, it's not the same thing at all. What are you talking about? So it's like,
it's amazing on the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
Yes, yes,
those are great covers this time. The bisexuals appreciate. yes. But so Netflix just released this documentary series. I think it's like 3 episodes about Naomi, and I watched the first one. I haven't seen the other 2 yet. And you can just tell in this documentary what, and like an introverted kind of like insular person she is. Like she seems very like thoughtful and private, and like kind of like a little uncomfortable in the documentary, actually. Like there's, yeah, a lot of talking to other people on her team, and she's a little more reserved, and I could totally see how she does not want to go up in front of all these people and explain the obvious,
right?
When she's just tired and stressed out, and I don't, yeah, really know why that should be, but it is in every sport. They do these like gymnastics, people fall and hurt themselves, and then they've got a camera shoved in their face. Like, yes, how do you feel? And if you say like, I feel like shit, I just fell, right, or you get mad at them, then you're in trouble, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you're supposed to be a perfect lady at all times.
Yeah. Or like, you know, watching the track event trials, like someone has just finished a 100-meter sprint and they're like still extremely out of breath, and someone's shoving a camera in their face, and they're just like panting and saying like, yes, praise God, I won. But it's like, don't you think they probably want to say like, can you give me a fucking minute? Like,
yeah.
But you can't say that, of course.
No,
so
you cannot say that. Like even some athletes who, like I'm thinking of Michaela Maroney, the gymnast, or, yes, Ashley Wagner, like where they kind of visibly expressed, mm-hmm, disgust or like upset at their score.
Yes.
And there's that famous picture of Michaela where she's like covering up her silver medal. Like,
yeah.
I love her. She has the best resting bitch face.
Yes.
That they were really criticized for that.
Yes.
And it's like, why should you have to pretend that you're happy all the time and like fine with when things don't go your way? Like we're in men's sports, there are men who are like smashing their tennis rackets,
right,
screaming at people and
punching lockers, like
yeah,
smashing their helmets into dugouts, and like,
yeah,
yeah, it's really messed up. The Michaela Maroney thing I think is really interesting because like, so it became a meme, and this whole like, uh-huh, not impressed face. And it's true that like, you know, the face that she's making is like not impressed, but it's like the reason she made that face was she did not execute well and was like disappointed.
Yeah, like disappointed in herself.
Yeah.
Not like upset with anyone else. Not, I mean, that's what's the thing. So often in these sports, it's like, it's not like the person is mad at someone else or even mad at the judges necessarily. I mean, sometimes, but
right,
it's they're like disappointed in themselves because they've been working their whole lives for this and didn't go the way they wanted. And anybody would have a lot of emotions in that moment. And like men are allowed to express that as anger in certain contexts, but women are not supposed to express that at all. They're just supposed to be happy and grateful to be there and like sweet. And
yes, which is crazy because like, so like she, you know, that was kind of a pivotal moment for her because she kind of retired not long after that happened. And like it became a meme. And yeah, it's funny. And now she's in like a commercial for Uber Eats or something.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's actually like, you're allowed to feel disappointed. Like it sucks that it's now like, it's a meme and a joke and it's like, LOL, not impressed, but it's like, give her space to feel her feelings. That's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Serena Williams is one of the few athletes who like has shown that kind of anger on the court. Like there was that incident actually in a, it was a match between her and Naomi Osaka, I think, where she was, the umpire made some calls that Serena disagreed with and she kind of got in his face and yelled at him and people were like aghast that she would behave this way. It's just like, you know, she is at the top of her sport. Like she knows what she's talking about and she felt like he was doing something unfair. And I don't know about enough about tennis to say whether or not that was the case, but I would like tend to defer to Serena Williams on the matter.
Right.
But she really like, and she wasn't even like, it wasn't like she was even like screaming at him. She was just kind of talking back to him, like arguing with him.
Right.
And people were like, she's being so aggressive, which is so coded.
Yes. So messed up. And it's crazy to think like in tennis, like 20 or 30 years ago, players like John McEnroe, like it was a whole, his whole thing was that he was always freaking out and yelling and throwing shit. And like, I think that behavior like that is not, it's, it is no longer acceptable. And I don't think that anyone, male or female, is really doing that now. But, like, can you imagine back at that time if a woman was behaving like that? Like, it was completely acceptable and also kind of, like, meme-ish. Like, that's just how he is. He's an angry guy. But, like, a woman could never behave in that way.
No. But people just want to be mad about Serena, like whatever
they do.
She does.
Yeah.
Like the catsuit thing, which was for like a medical reason, right? Wasn't
it? Like
it
was for, like
she had blood clots.
Yeah. So she had like a instead of wearing like the little floofy skirt getup, she had sort of like a full body catsuit for like compression reasons because she had a blood clot issue after she had after she gave birth. So like it was like to just sort of keep her healthy, and it was like scandalous. She wasn't like, I forget exactly what happened, but like I think that was also the French Open. Let me look that up. French Open seems like a terrible place.
Lost so much drama.
Yeah,
but she looked like a fucking superhero.
Oh my god,
it was awesome. She looked great, but it
was
totally
awesome.
Even if she didn't, it was for a medical reason, so like everyone shut up.
Yes. And some of the comments were like, she wasn't respecting the rich history of the game by wearing something like this. But it's like, I feel like she's actually been extremely gracious considering the insane things that people have said about her. Like, you know, she, when the catsuit issue came up, her comment was sort of just like, you know, obviously Grand Slam tournaments can do whatever they want to do. Like, she didn't make a fuss about it.
But also, she is the rich history of the game.
Yes.
Like, shut up, old white men. Like,
yes.
What? She's like the only reason most people care about tennis at this point. Like,
yes,
for many years.
Seriously.
Wow. Like, even I, who know nothing about tennis except when the Olympics are on, I worship her. She's amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm sure there are some examples of men being criticized for what they are wearing. But
well, Johnny Weir actually got a lot of crap for the things that he wore on the ice because he wore more like unitard kind of things, more like the Russian style and the kind of almost like a ballet costume kind of look.
Right.
And a lot of the officials wanted him to dress more manly, basically. It's so ridiculous. Some of the male skaters will wear, I mean, they're like made out of stretchy material, but they'll basically wear like blue jeans on the ice. And I'm just like, I get it. You're straight. Like, oh, God.
Right. It's so crazy. Sports are fucking fascinating.
They are. And I'm so excited to watch the Olympics, which will hopefully, like we said, be going on. I hope the athletes all stay as safe as possible and it is, it's a tough situation for everyone involved, but I hope it goes well. And I feel like everyone in the world could just like use something like this at this point to bring us all together.
Yeah, and we need something to root for. Like, it's, yeah, I think it would be good. I worry about them, but I really hope that most people are vaccinated and that it'll be, all be okay. But it's, we're like, our next couple weeks of television viewing are set, which is great. Don't have to decide what to watch. All Olympics all the time. Very excited about that.
That's it for this episode of Unlikable Female Characters. Don't forget to subscribe, and you can also follow us on Twitter at UnlikableFCPod for updates, book recommendations, and angry feminist rants. Our website is unlikablefemalecharacters.com, and we're also on Instagram at unlikablefemalecharacters. Thanks for listening.